special only on Undercover Tapes. Hey everybody, welcome to a new UCPN special. You know I am your boy Al Mega, CEO of Karma Crusaders and Undercover Capes. Thank you for listening, and today I have one awesome Hispanic Latino entrepreneur that has been cooking it up all over the place in the social world, in Hispanic media world, and now he's onto a new venture that's going to kick ass and most likely be the next Mecca of fandom. I'm talking about none other than the incredible Manny Ruiz. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great, brother. Thank you for having me on your show, and I hope we can live up to that intro.
Dude, man, if people just take a look at your resume on LinkedIn, they're going to be very much impressed by your achievements and what you've done, the way you've moved on, the way you've gained. You know, awesome. I'm here, very honored to speak to you, you know, as a fellow Latino entrepreneur. Hopefully I get to learn a few things myself about moving. You know, like Carla says, you got to move the right way. So, you know, let's get into this, Manny. You know, you have this awesome show coming up that you created. This is the first year, correct?
Yeah, NostalgiaCon, our 80s pop culture convention. This is the first year of NostalgiaCon. I've been producing events for 10 years, and I've surrounded this property with other partners and advisors. Collectively, we have about 100 years production of events.
Oh my God.
And conventions. So a lot of great experience behind the scenes in helping produce this first ever product that we think is going to be very exciting.
I don't think it's just fake. I know it will be, because I have been receiving the amazing press releases, you know, with the announcements with the show. And let me tell you, folks, this is something you cannot miss. But before we get into all that, I just want to know a little bit about who Manny is and why we've come to NostalgiaCon, you know, and why that love affair with that. So, you know, where are you from? What era are you from? And where's your fandom really kicking from?
Well, look, I'm an 80s kid. I was born and raised in Miami, of Cuban-American descent, married to a Texas Latina.
Well, you got it hard,
I got it hard. I got a Texas Latina that has an incredible personality, have four kids. I was raised by grandparents that, my grandfather, Manolo, who I was named after, came to the U.S. in 1914 for the first time. Born in 1893.
Oh,
and these are the parents, these are my quote-unquote parents.
Gotcha.
And so I've always been an old soul. I've always been a nostalgic kid since I was little. In fact, two strange things about me is that I majored in history in college. I did that because I was a reporter for the first part of my career.
Okay.
A print reporter, crime reporter at the Miami Herald.
A crime reporter in the Miami Herald.
Crime reporter in the early 90s, yeah.
You must have had a lot of stories.
The other strange fact is I have an 80s diary. Okay. From 1983 at the age of 13 to 1987 when I was 17.
Good years.
I kept that diary alive and cooking. It's my most prized possession, and I know the day when I saw Back to the Future and when I saw Teen Wolf and The Karate Kid.
You saw them in the theaters, bro? You got to see them in the theaters or on videotape like me?
Yeah, I saw it in the movie theater, yeah.
In the theaters? Awesome, bro. Shit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I remember those first-time experiences, firsthand. I remember MTV firsthand. This is the kind of stuff that I love the 80s, and I was definitely that's my decade. That's part of the premise of NostalgiaCon, is that with NostalgiaCon, and you'll see it this year with the 80s, next year there'll be another 80s convention and the first 90s. We feel, and part of our premise of the business is that everybody has a decade that makes them feel alive, more alive, and they love it. And they don't have to necessarily be having lived it in the 80s or the 90s. They might just be a kid or a millennial, whatever, that relates to that decade, loves that decade. Much like in the 80s, a lot of us love the 50s. It's kind of strange, but a lot of 80s kids like myself had a lot of stuff that we love from the 50s, like
I hear
Back
you.
to the Future had,
Agreed.
you know? So there's a lot of that nostalgia that we are tapping into, and that's the premise of Nostalgica, that everybody has a decade or two. Some people have every decade because they love everything. But everybody has that one or two special decades.
Yeah, and you're really touching upon mine because, you know, I definitely grew up in the 80s as a kid. You know, and coming into my teens, you know, and then obviously with the 90s, early to mid 90s, I mean, I'm a teenager, you know, causing trouble. Those are definitely my eras because, it's funny, you know, we grew up and we listened to our parents tell us, that's not music. This is when this was music, right? So when you grow older, have you not found yourself kind of repeating yourself as your parents?
Yeah, we do. We repeat ourselves as parents, absolutely. I have four kids, so I do it all the time. Like,
Bendito.
Oh, shoot. I'm saying, I am speaking something that my father, my grandmother, my grandfather. Yeah.
Awesome, dude. All right. So, what was your fandom of choice though growing up? What was your thing that was the one that once you saw this one particular show, comic, figure, whatever it was, what is it that got you involved into it?
Well, my icons and my thing, early on, I was into the superheroes. I remember when there was I remember way back in the 70s and I think right into the early 80s, Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Was probably my first superhero, Linda Carter.
Wepa.
And I also remember early TV versions of Spider-Man and of Captain America. I had always wanted to see more of those, but those shows didn't do well, ironically, in those years. Not sure if it was because it was bad storytelling. Might have been that the technology was not up to par. There was a show that we all desperately rooted to be like the next Superman called The Greatest American Hero.
Oh, yeah.
And it never made it. It was really bad.
I love that show, Ross.
I love the show now in reruns because it reminded me of wanting to see Superman and somebody flying for a whole episode. But I think it was too expensive to get Superman, to get this guy to be like Superman. So the guy practically never flew in the show, and he didn't have the greatest superpower. So, but I would say the comic book hero that I most loved and I adored it was Lou Ferrigno as the Incredible Hulk.
Gotcha.
With Bill Bixby.
Bixby, yeah, man.
And then it was followed, of course, when you watched the TV back then, it was followed by the Dukes of Hazzard. Which was followed then by Dallas. So I don't have Lou Ferrigno, not yet. We're in talks. But I do have a Dukes of Hazzard reunion and a Dallas reunion at NostalgiaCon. So
get out. You got a Dallas reunion lined up there?
Yeah, we got a Dallas reunion, brother. We did. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And when did that get all put together? Ooh, fire.
You know, it's funny. Dallas was... The last, I think it was at 10 o'clock on Friday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was usually not a good sign for me to be seeing Dallas because it meant my dad, who would pick me up on weekends to be with him because my parents were divorced and that's why I was raised by my grandparents.
Okay.
It meant that my dad was being very late. So, but I watched the beginning of Dallas and probably the first 30 minutes many times involuntarily because I couldn't help it. I was not trying to watch it because my dad was late. But I know so many people love Dallas. You know, this summer, my wife, my four kids, and I, and a group of influencers, we went and we did a retro 80s road trip across America with Best Western, who's been a terrific partner of
ours. How cool is that?
And they sponsored us. Yeah, man. For 20 days straight, we drove from from New York City to Anaheim and many places in between. So we went to the home of Madonna. We went to the high school where Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller was shot.
Get out.
We saw the house where A Christmas Story was filmed. We went to Dallas. We went to the Dallas Dude Ranch in right near Dallas Fort Worth in North Fork or South Fork. I'm sorry, and South Fork Ranch is what it's called. And it's funny. I even got my drone, and when I went to Dallas, there's an opening scene to the show, that shows almost, it's a helicopter shot because there was no drones back then. But I took my drone and I replicated the helicopter shot with my drone
Awesome.
flying over the ranch. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. It was such a like little kid dream
I
to
can't
mimic a
imagine.
shot from a TV show. So yeah, I'm a very nostalgic guy, and I know probably more useless information about 80s trivia than you would care for, but that's just part of my gig, and I'd love it.
And that's amazing because, you know, you're talking about, you know, hooking up with Dallas and the Dukes of Hazzard, but you also hooked up the MTV VJs reunion as well.
Yeah, this is actually, we have the first, this is the first MTV VJs reunion at a pop culture convention in history.
Ever.
And so they've done cruises. Yeah, they've done cruises. One has shown up at a conference here and there, but they've never been together. And we got three of the four remaining original VJs together. Martha Quinn, I'm sorry, not Martha Quinn. She's the only one we don't have. We got Nina Blackwood, Alan Hunter, and Mark Goodman.
Yep.
And they're going to dish it out. They got some incredible 80s pop culture history stories. And
I'm sure
you know,
they do.
These guys and gals are, they were the tastemakers for us. They are 80s royalty. And it's interesting to have them all together. They're also going to be the MCs for the two music nights that we have. We're going to get to see them in the context of their MTV VJ superlatives at our event.
Oh, what? So, you know, while staying on the theme of music. So, yeah, you have more than just basically the show going on. There's also a concert going on behind the scenes, right?
Well, music is the soul of every decade. So when you think of any decade, whether it's 80s, 90s, 70s, whatever decade you're doing, you kind of start, it all starts and ends with music. And we feel that that's the only way to roll a NostalgiaCon is, as great as the TV shows are and the celebrities, and I'll tell you about other celebs that we have coming to the show to sign and photograph and be part of panels, you can't have an event without great music of the decade. And so we have two nights of excuse me.
Bless.
We have two nights of music, and the Saturday, September 28th of the event is what we call New Wave Night. As of right now, we've announced the Motels, who, by the way, are going to have their song Suddenly Last Summer, will be front and center on the show American Horror Story. The next season is about to be all about the Motels. And the other music group that we have announced is ABC, which has Look of Love, Poison Arrow, just a lot of great new wave hits. That's our new wave night, and we have one more in the works, which will be a very sweet and very special, God willing, music artist to announce. And then on Sunday, we're doing a mixtape night, and that's really,
nice.
It's going to be a very diverse program, not just with music, but also very multicultural. We got TKA.
I was about to ask, you got that freestyle going on? Okay.
Yeah, we got some freestyle. We got some hip hop with Dougie Fresh and Modi Love.
Oh, check
we
that
got
out.
The Sugar Hill Gang.
Oh.
Nice. And we even have heavy metal with Dokken. So,
Webba.
You know, our goal is to be as representative of the decade as much as we're able to in 2 days, because frankly, as we've been programming the event, it feels like we can almost do a 3-day version of this event. But this year, you know, we want to be very tight with tons of content. These 2 days that I'm talking about begin and end very late at night.
Nice.
Begin late, early in the morning, and end very late at night. So,
great.
If you love 80s pop culture, you know, regardless of your age, and we do have folks of every age that love 80s pop culture right now, thanks to Stranger Things and Bohemian Rhapsody, and a lot of trends that are almost like come back all at one time, you're going to adore what NostalgiaCon represents. And you know, one of the things, Alex, that I'll add is that we not only have the Comic-Con nature of an event with panels, celebrity autographs and photographs, and the concerts, we also have the National Boombox Museum, which we're giving birth to at NostalgiaCon. We're also doing a nod
nice.
To the 90s lounge. So we're going to have a little flavor of 90s there to tease you for next year. And then we're also going to have great exhibitors and sponsors of the event that will bring the event alive in a big way that way. And finally, but not least, you can imagine how crazy this will be. We're going to have 80s cosplay on steroids. So a fashion contest and a fashion and a competition. So yeah, a lot of great activity. I think that we're going to have a common complaint about the event, and I love this complaint. There's too much to do and not enough time to do it. And that's when I know I have done the right thing, is
yes.
when we've scheduled more than you can consume, but what you're eating is just so awesome that you
need more.
You just feel like you got to come back over and over, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That was my feeling for San Diego Comic-Con. This is my first time going, and they gave so much things to do that it was just impossible to attend everything. And, you know, and that left me wanting more for sure. So that tactic
exactly.
definitely is going to work, because you're going to put on one crazy show. I mean, you know, that's something you haven't even mentioned yet. You also got a car show, nostalgic cars, huh?
We're going to have some nostalgic cars. We're going to have the Ghostbusters cars, the DeLorean car. I have a really rare car to find, believe it or not, is the car that most mimics the movie from the station wagon from Vacation.
I see that, and I wanted to ask you.
Awesome one. Oh my God, that guy's going to be popular. So we'll have Trans Ams, Firebirds from the 80s. We might have one more celebrity car that's in the works right now as well. So we're going to have an 80s car.
Oh, that's Kit,
yeah,
man.
80s car show at NostalgiaCon as well. And then we're going to have a day that literally, my goal is literally to do that, to mess with you so bad that you just can't believe how many things you can do and you don't have the time to do it all. That's the mark of a show that's successful, is that you have too many things on the agenda that you can't cross off, because you're just divided with where to be and who to talk to and what to hear.
Understood. You know, in the 10 years that you said you've been, you know, working in the show market and whatnot, what made you feel that this is the show that was missing?
Well, because I've always... So I hate producing comics. Let me just put it that way. I really do. I don't like producing them, and I often don't like going to them.
Yeah.
I have a very short attention span, and I'm a bit of a pain to go to a conference or a convention, because I'm kind of jaded about them, and I've produced them for 10 years and I've been to everything. But about 7 years ago, I got this itch. You know, having seen so many events and conventions of every kind, there's a sneaker con, there's a drag con, there's like a con for everything.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like, I can't believe that there isn't a con for my decade. For my decade that I love, and that I could, frankly, I live kind of in the 1980s in my house. I mean, yeah, I have modern furniture and modern TV, but if it were up to me, I'd live throwback all the time. And you know, I tell my wife that I'm working very hard to be able to hopefully convert our house more and more into a total throwback house someday.
Yeah, no incident, no nothing,
dream,
right? When the kid,
huh?
When you no incident, no nothing. When the kids get mad at the kids, you throw a chancla at them. You know, old school.
Oh my God, always. But I do, you know, I do have some of the old throwback games, and you know, I have some pieces that I've assembled, but you know, it takes a lot of time and focus and frankly,
sure.
money to do some of that. So you got to take time, but I've loved this idea for years. And you know, the fact that I have an 80s diary that I started in 1983, the fact that I majored in history, the fact that I was a reporter before I was a journalist, before I was doing what I do now, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's all pointed back to doing NostalgiaCon. And then producing events for, you know, which I just sold my previous company about a month ago to John Leguizamo. So I've done
this.
I wouldn't,
awesome. Congrats,
you know, I like doing Hispanicize, but as much as I liked it, I don't think I've ever felt the love that I feel for what I'm doing now. Because what I'm doing now is something that I could generally say I would do it for free, and I would probably do it for the rest of my life, whether it's the 80s or not. You know, it's a historian in me too. You know, I just love retro, and I love.
And to me, I
love
see you're sharing it more with a much more diverse audience, as opposed to, you know, Hispanicize, and thank you for doing stuff for the Latino community. But when people see that, they think you just want to stay closed in within your community, because some people are not open-minded that way, unfortunately. So yeah, I see that this is something that's much more open and diverse to a huge fandom, regardless
Absolutely.
of color or
Absolutely.
creed, whatever it is that you're into, it don't matter. Because love is love. Because, listen, I'm a Voltron fanatic from the 80s. Robotech, He-Man, Thundercats, give me all that good stuff, please. I miss
Well,
it.
it's funny. He-Man came at the point where I was becoming too much of a of I
A big
think
boy?
He-Man came around the turn. I thought I was older,
Gotcha.
for He-Man. I was too old for He-Man, in my opinion. So He-Man was what the kid right under my age group, my little gap, got
Gotcha.
into. I was not into He-Man. I involuntarily saw many episodes, of course. But of course now I love He-Man because
Funny.
it's He-Man, it's
Yeah,
fun,
see?
it's 80s.
I like how you said that the generation underneath, because I have two younger brothers, so the generation underneath me would be the Turtles, Power Rangers
Oh
fans.
my God, yeah, the Ninja Turtles. That's another one that I couldn't get into because
Yep.
it was for somebody that was just about 2 to 3 years younger than me.
Yeah,
And it just so I just missed the He-Man and Ninja Turtles craze because of that reason.
but you got
But
though
I
into the
totally get it.
Voltron Transformers G.I. Joe at least, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, I could tell you what I was really into, and it was pre-Transformers. And that was, and a lot of people don't talk about this, but I actually, after I sold my first company, I went and I to eBay and I bought some of these old toys
Yeah.
because I loved it. And it was a series of toys that would become the precursor to Transformers, and it was called Micronauts. Do you
Okay.
know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know the Micronauts. Yeah, say word, really.
Okay, so the Micronauts to me are cooler than the Transformers. And that's just because, it was the old school one. It was the old school to the Transformers were the Micronauts.
Gotcha.
And Biotron was the, I guess, what is the main guy from the Transformers?
Optimus.
Optimus Prime?
Yep.
Biotron was the Optimus Prime. It's funny enough, Optimus Prime, I believe, is red and he's red and white, right?
Yeah, red
Red
and
and
blue,
white and
white,
maybe
yeah.
blue.
Yeah.
All right, Biotron was the same colors.
Too funny.
So if you look at Biotron and you look at Optimus Prime, you'll see that there's a resemblance
Gotcha.
of sorts. It's really interesting.
There you go, guys. He wants Micronauts and Transformers fans to discuss this, that there's a possibility that Optimus is a big ripoff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I have no doubt that the Transformers bit a lot from the Micronauts. You just have to see it. It was convertible toys. You can, buy a Biotron toy. You can convert into like a tank. It had, it wasn't perfectly into a plane
Yeah.
and other things like the Transformers would end up doing neatly. But you could definitely see a lot of Transformers in Micronauts.
And you still have that collection of stuff or what?
I only have one Micronaut, original Micronaut, I believe, and
Okay.
what I did was, as I said, I bought my old toy, some of my old toys from eBay. What I did have that's original is I do have a 1970s G.I. Joe. It's one of the best kept figures that I have.
Oh, word,
I have a
nice.
Native American figure from some other one, and then I have a J.J. Is it J.J. Armstrong? I think it's a J.J. Armstrong. It's a weird character, but
No,
and then
oh,
there's
the
another one.
Stretch
I can't
Armstrong,
remember
the
the name of
stretchy
it.
dudes.
No, the Stretch Armstrong. I did own one, but they never lasted. If you have a Stretch Armstrong, you cannot stretch it because it'd break, and then the jelly came out. I mean, literally, it would not last. You could
Yeah.
probably play for about an hour before it would break. They were
You have to
terribly
be
flimsy.
careful. You have to be careful. I mean, they were fun, the concept.
Man, it was an amazing concept, but they literally couldn't keep it together. So you always. It was always leaking, always leaking.
They call him Leaky Armstrong.
Yeah, leaky. That's right.
Oh man, that's awesome. So, all right, so this year, so are you gonna base the possibility of Nostalgia Con, season two, if you will, based on what happens with this one?
I think that this one is going to be amazing, and I already
Me too.
know how we're going to do next year. But this one's going to have a lot of special elements to it, and there's some surprise elements, God willing, that will be coming into it over the next couple of weeks as we get closer to the event. Which everybody could look at the agenda at nostalgicon80s.com. But our event this year, I think, is going to be very special. You know, it's the first one, so I think we will get a lot of it right on point, and then some things are going to be adjustments. I know some things that I would already do differently from one year to the next. But I think if you are an 80s fan, it's going to be very organic to know, like, this is how it is going to evolve from here. But we will try to get, I think the 80s fans are going to be very, very happy, because this is something that, for those of us that love the 80s, there's never been a celebration that brings all these elements alive in such a great, big, bold way as we're doing. So, this has been, a lot of people don't know this, but I've had this idea for 7 years.
Oh,
I
wow.
have been working on it for September. September marks 2 years
Oh,
since I've
wow.
been working on NostalgiaCon full time.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a lot of work that's been going on with myself and my team. 2 years of pre-producing this event to bring something that everybody, I think, will understand is very special.
So that
Pop
so
culture.
so for people that try to get run want to do convention one day and whatnot, and now this being you. This is a 2-year culmination. What would you say has been the hardest part, in putting this together? The most difficult task, and how did you overcome it?
To be honest with you, this has been a very hard project for me in many, many ways, many unexpected ways. One of them, one of the biggest things is people have never seen it, and I don't know how they've never seen it, because we describe it very easily, very quickly. I feel like it's like I get it. I don't, maybe it's I'm entrenched in events, and so I know it so well. But for people to understand what it was, it's only now when they go to the website that they're like, oh, and they say that every slide that goes by on the website, because I have a slider that goes on and on and on, they're like, oh, this is what, and I'm like, yes. So explaining it and showing it, being able to show it now is shorthand, now it's easy, but getting to this point took a long, long time, it's, to me, that's what one of the things that was very difficult. The other difficult thing is that people would say, hey, are you really going to be able to do this event? And I'm like, well, I've only done events for 10 years, and I've only sold two companies, one to a publicly traded company before this other company, and this one to John Leguizamo. So, there's no guarantee that everything is going to be wonderful to the degree that we all have, but I think we're going to have a pretty amazing event, and hopefully people will feel that we got it almost just right, even from the first one. So it's going to be a very special event, I think.
And are you gonna keep it to the West Coast for your next event, or do you plan on maybe sharing NostalgiaCon across the country at some point?
Yeah, so we're committed to California as one of our home bases, but I am also committed to having one in the East Coast. So it's a matter of, do we do the 80s in the summer again in California, or do we transfer it to New York or some other part of the United States? Our idea is to share it outside of California. So we're definitely going to have it in more than one state. But one of the states that we are going to have is going to be California, because that's really home for a lot of nostalgia. It's a great place to get a lot of stars and celebrities
Oh,
from different things.
absolutely. And
Take
then they
care.
gotta travel, because I know through SDCC they
Yeah.
were just walking around, as
Yeah.
fans. Me, I'm just so horrible with names. I would have eventually called them by a character name. That's disrespectful. I don't want to do that. So I would
Yeah.
just
Yeah. No.
wave hello and just keep walking.
Yep. I get it.
But I get that environment. Absolutely, I see that, the benefit of it. As well, I'm just jealous because I'm in the East Coast and I won't get to enjoy it this year.
Well, you should try. we'll set you up with a booth over there and stuff. Just let us know.
Oh,
We'd
man.
love to have you over there, man.
Yeah, God willing. Vamos a ver. So with that, I mean,
I can tell you there'll be other Boricuas there, so
I'm pretty
you don't
sure.
have you. You're
We're all over the place, Konya.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
This is awesome. You know, I definitely love the whole concept again. I think people really need to dig in and take a look at everything you have to offer. So if people wanted to, you know, check out information about the show, buy some tickets, see what's popping, where should they go?
Well, they can just go to NostalgiaCon 80s on any of our platforms, social media, across Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Definitely check us out now. And please do share that part. And then the other place, of course, where to buy tickets directly, the best place is on NostalgiaCon80s.com. And we have 1 2-day tickets. We have VIP. We're about to announce a super VIP. And by the way, we have not yet posted it. As of this date of this interview, the autograph and photograph sessions, but there definitely will be a very robust platform online to announce those sessions.
Wow. I mean, again, it sure sounds amazing, dude. I think people are just going to fall in love with the concept you've created here, as have I, because I know, again, my jaw drops and I begin to salivate with every press release. You can see me like an old man with my fist in the air saying, West Coast, lucky you. Which is
amazing.
Well,
look, we'll definitely work on trying to bring something to the East Coast for you. So just stay on. But, you know, it's something that, you know, we want to make sure NostalgiaCon is accessible to the rest of the country. So even if we have only one other state, I think by doing one in the East and one in the West, it makes it, you know, more beneficial for the company as well, for NostalgiaCon.
Absolutely. I definitely want to see that happen. I know that I will see that happen because, you know, again, based on your resume, you're a hungry one that goes after what you want and makes it happen. So, again, we're part of that, Papa. Keep it going.
Thank you, brother.
And make sure to follow him as well. Cause I believe you go by the Poppy Blogger on Twitter.
I do, but you know what? Lately, I barely post stuff personally. I do it more on my Twitter. Yeah, Poppy Blogger and Manny Ruiz actually. But I tell everybody, hey, follow NostalgiaCon. My adventure is there, and even though it's not my personal one, it's. I'm very much a part of that, of the soul of that. So that's a great place to check me out.
And there you go, folks. Make sure to look into this amazing Latino entrepreneur that's making it happen with some fun cons, with some ill experience. So, you know, keep a lookout on it. I'll definitely share all the links below of the podcast. So make sure to click away and take a look. I'm Al Mega with the incredible Manny Ruiz. Thank you for listening today.
Thank you, brother.
Later. Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit comiccrusaders.com, undercovercage.com, geekerymagazine.com, and our newest venture, splinteredpress.com.